So how do you end a book about the end? That's the question I like to imagine John of Patmos struggling with as he was writing the last paragraph of what we call Revelation. In my head, I see him sitting in a poorly lit room with his manuscript on his lap and smoke from candles making soot marks on the ceiling. He slowly flips through what he's written. He rereads his visions of heaven, and he recreates in his mind the vivid and colorful images his words paint for us. He sees the four horsemen, sees God's holy city descending from heaven, and watches as God's story of faith, love, and hope collide with the faith, hope, and fear the Roman Empire taught and proclaimed. Through Jesus, John knows that God is doing an almost ridiculous thing. Instead of scratching everything and starting over, God is taking what's already here, what's already in this world, and making it new. The broken, the doubting, and even those who do not know God are being transformed. The call from John to the people who hear his words is simple. Don't forget that Jesus is with you through all things. And this relationship isn't just life-affirming, it's life-changing. John, in the 21 chapters before this, shared so much. But how to end it? Maybe as he waits for the Spirit to inspire him, he watches as the candlelight flickers, casting shadows on the walls. And as these shadows move and dance, he sees images of the people he's writing to. He sees the seven churches, the homes they use as sanctuaries, the men and women who lead worship, and the young and old who gather there on Sunday mornings before they head to work to experience Jesus. And so as the images of people dance before him, John takes a breath, puts his pen to paper, and the words just come. Now this past Friday and Saturday was the New Jersey Synod's annual meeting. Our denomination's regional body met. So the Lutheran churches in New Jersey sent their pastors and some of their members to meet for a day and a half to talk about what it's like being the church in New Jersey. I was there, as well as Joanne Milano and David Krause. But I personally did more than just share the joys and struggles we experience here at Christ Lutheran Church. I also co-led a workshop over lunch on Friday that was all about church communication. Over 36 folks gathered in a small conference room to talk about social media, Facebook, websites, newspapers, and more. And it was great because in the entire hour and a half, the conversation didn't stop. People talked, they asked questions, and after the workshop ended, and I returned to the wider churchwide session, there was one question someone asked that wouldn't stop gnawing at me. We were asked if the New Jersey Synod had any tips or tricks on how to use church communication tools to target and market to a specific audience. Now, we all know that churches do have a point of view. They have a message to share, and different parts of our story appeal to different kinds of people. Someone who loves thinking, talking, and mulling over God while in a conversation with ancient theologians and modern-day scholars. might not respond as well to a message which only highlights that when it comes that our denomination is second only to the Roman Catholics when it comes to providing social services like nursing homes, food programs, and more. Our story needs to speak to different kinds of people, and we need to know the people we're speaking to. And that's what targeting is all about. Knowing our audience and knowing our own story, too. But there's about a third of God's story that this question misses. By focusing on who we're trying to reach or on the story they need to hear, we bypass the message teller. We, in some ways, hope that the right message or the right story or the right words or images that we share, that will do all the work for us. If we just advertise in the right spot or make sure these ads show up in the right spaces, like maybe during the Super Bowl or whenever someone logs into Facebook, we believe that everything will just fall into place. Faith will spread, our pews will fill, and the world will be changed. But in this scenario, the message in the end wouldn't involve us at all. And that's what got me about this question that we were asked. The question wasn't how we personally could share Jesus. The question was assuming that the message somehow isn't meant to come through us. But the medium is the message, and it's hard to admit that God has called us to be God's message tellers. We who don't always know what to say, who might not even know what our own faith story is, we're the ones called to tell and share what God is doing in our lives. And we all know that sometimes this story, this message is obvious. When we feel God active in our lives, it's easy to share that. It's easy to point to it. It's easy to say, amen. But sometimes the most honest thing we can do is to admit to others when we don't see God. And when our faith is sometimes very hard. We're the ones who in our baptism are given the job to tell our story and tell God's story too. The message without the message teller doesn't share all of who God is and what God does. God is making all things new, but that needs to be pointed out. That needs to be shared with family, friends, coworkers, and even strangers. We're called to point out when we see that new thing, when we see that transformation, and admit when the new thing we see happens to be us. When the ink of the last paragraph of Revelation finally dried, what John wrote was simply, "Come. Come and see what God is doing in the world. Come and see what God is doing in my life. Come and see how God loves. And how God won't let our brokenness be the final word for us or for the world. Come and see, come and notice, come and share. Because as God's story bubbles up in our lives, as acts of service, acts of love, and acts of faith suddenly show up and make themselves felt, when we hear God say, come, we don't keep that message to ourselves. We don't hide it from everyone else. We who hear, we who experience, we who see and know God, we go out into the world, to our friends, to our families, and to even strangers. And like John of Patmos, like the seven churches he wrote to, we who are imperfect, we who are broken, we who mess up, we point to Jesus and say to everyone, come. Amen.